This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
Our service is about to begin. Please rise as you are able.
In the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, whose compassion illumines the world. Transform us into the likeness of the love of Christ, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity, the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sins. Merciful God, we have sinned in what we have thought and said, in the wrong we have done, in the good we have not done. We have sinned in ignorance. We have sinned in weakness. We have sinned through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry. Repent and turn to you. Forgive us for our Savior Christ's sake, and renew our lives to the glory of your name. Amen. Through the cross of Christ, God have mercy on you, pardon you, and set you free. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. God strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal. Amen. Let us pray the way that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, graciously grant this humble church peace and unity, if it is your will. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other a sign of peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Be seated, please. Who has our first reading today? So you're up then, sir. Quiet, please.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
This is a reading from the second book of Kings. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on the way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came in. So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." And then Elisha said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood some distance from them. They both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, and the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in the whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Who's next?
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of the world was blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing clearly the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. Who is the image of God? For who do not proclaim ourselves? We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves, as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, light will shine out of darkness. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. With you, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright, such as no one on earth could brighten them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen, until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The true gospel of the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the word, the light. Okay, be seated, please. Say good afternoon to you. This is our last Sunday after Epiphany. We are still in the Gospel of Mark, and remember from last time, Mark is very particular in recording his accounts, meaning he only records the accounts that have a special meaning to him. And so today, we find ourselves with a very familiar passage, which is simply referred to as the Transfiguration on the Mount, which makes today Transfiguration Sunday. Okay, we will look at this passage afresh as an event that is set on a mountaintop, possibly Mount Tabor, where Jesus literally transformed himself to meet with both Moses and Elijah. It is a short passage, a very strange passage, but a passage full of meaning. Now, mountaintop scenes are rare in the Bible, but all have a strong and powerful message. The first mountaintop scene we read is the one where Abraham takes his only beloved son Isaac, the one who was promised by God, to be sacrificed so that God could fulfill his covenant with Abraham. Fortunately, God intervened and Isaac's life was spared. The second mountaintop scene is where Moses is on Mount Sinai directly after the crossing of the Red Sea to escape the Egyptian army. He then left the newly freed Israelites at the bottom of the mountain covered in a thick cloud, and it is here the Lord spoke to Moses. And 6 days later, he descended the mountain and delivered the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. It is also worth noting that years later when Moses died, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, that he would raise up for the people another prophet who would, like Moses, hear the voice of God and teach it to the people. And when that prophet comes, listen to him. We will come to that a little later. Anyway, the third mountaintop scene is the one in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, where the great prophet Elijah was desperately seeking God. If you remember, Elijah looked for God in a strong wind, but could not find him. And then he looked in an earthquake, then in a fire, at nobody there. But he eventually found God in a still, small voice, who gave him instructions to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. I'm saying this in the hope that you can hear the similarities in today's gospel reading. You know, the 6 days, the cloud, the voice, the beloved son, the command to listen to him. What a coincidence. Well, not really. You see, there are no coincidences. God has it all planned. So God's amazing plan was that they all come together with presence of both Moses and Elijah. I love coincidences because they link things together. Now, verse 2, Jesus is transfigured. Now, verse 2 states by telling us that Jesus took with him Peter and James and John. That means he left the others behind at the base. And it is thought that these three were chosen because they were regarded as inner circle, as Jesus on occasion would allow these three disciples certain privileges, like in raising the daughter of Jairus from the dead. And these three would be called to go a little further with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Anyway, verse 2 and 3 continues, and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And Matthew in his gospel tells us that his face shone like the sun. And it is, too, some would say, is a coincidence, because Moses, too, when he delivered the Ten Commandments, his face was transformed also, which means that something very strange is happening here. And if that isn't unusual enough in itself, then take into account verse 4, where the presence of two of the world's most faith-honored heroes, Moses, the great lawgiver, and Elijah, the great prophet, give us both the law and the prophets, are now in communion with Jesus. Now, here we have both literally and figuratively a powerful mountaintop experience. And this was too much for Peter and James and John, as verse 6 tells us they were terrified in that glory and presence of God. Now, mind you, terror never stopped Peter from opening his mouth. And so he suggests in verse 5, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But Jesus dissuades him in verse 6, and then a cloud overshadows them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Now, listening to Jesus is not a suggestion. It is a direct command from God himself. So we should probably listen. We were baptized because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, go into all the world and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we celebrate Holy Communion because Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, do this in remembrance of me. These two examples, baptism and Holy Communion, are religious duties that our Lord told us to do. But that is not all that he commands us to do. Jesus also tells us in Matthew 28, the most familiar version of the Great Commission, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The connotations for us, this is serious. Let me just start this way. And this then has serious connotations for us, as we are identified as a disciple of Christ, which means that we must trust God for everything and for the way as he is watching over everything, including us, all the time, watching over us in protection and not condemnation, as we are told in Matthew chapter 7 that he clothes the birds of the air and the grass of the field, and that we are not to worry, as we are far more valuable to him than they are. This does not mean we are to wear rose-colored glasses or to try to convince ourselves that everything is okay. No, it means that even when things go wrong, which they do, we are to turn to and trust in God, because he will see us through. It also means, among many other things, that we as disciples of Christ, we do not measure the meaning of our lives in net worth as the world does, you know, in financial terms or in worldly success. No, we are to measure our successes in terms of inward growth, in our similarity or in comparison to Jesus himself. And we do worship him. He is our idol, if you will. And as such, we are drawn to him. And by being drawn to him, we do things he likes us to do. And in doing so, we become more like him. It may not feel like it, but that is the way it works. We cannot help but be like him if we worship him. And yes, we also focus on our mistakes, which we shouldn't. This is demeaning to us. Instead, we are to build ourselves up. After all, the King James tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Contemporary English version simply says, if you belong to Christ Jesus, then you won't be punished. That's quite a promise. That is quite a truth, and I myself find it difficult to believe sometimes. Anyway, returning to our story, we read in verse 8, and suddenly when they had looked around about, they saw no man anywhere, save Jesus only with themselves. Moses and Elijah had suddenly disappeared, and Jesus stood alone with his disciples. And they began this journey with Jesus, and they would return from this mountain alone with him. And I suppose this was done to emphasize the fact that Jesus himself was enough, that he didn't need Moses and Elijah to hold his hand. And while it was exciting to see Moses and Elijah, they were not really there for the benefit of the disciples, because they spent all their time in communion with Jesus, not with them. The disciples appear only to be there as witnesses of this extraordinary occasion. So we end our story here, and we can confidently conclude that Jesus was all the disciples needed. He is all that we need. He alone bore our sins, and he alone provides our redemption. He is therefore worthy of our worship and devotion, and this truth needs to be told. This has been a very familiar passage for most of us, where Jesus allowed three of his disciples to see who he really was. This they would need as confirmation, as they would soon face great difficulties in their lives after his crucifixion. And they need to know for sure that Christ alone was enough. And that is our message to us today, that he is enough for us, regardless of what we are going through. And we need these reminders from time to time as we walk with the Lord, because we know that life can beat us down. And when it does, we need to focus on the one who will carry us through. He is our salvation, strength, and hope. God working in our hearts through the power of the Holy Ghost, and he has never made a mess of anything yet. So, we must put ourselves within range of his voice so that we can listen to him and not the worldly news or the media or the opinions of others. And we are not here to make religious tents for old men on mountains. We are here to listen to the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, and to be his disciples. Amen. We give thanks for all we have received, O God, gifts of love and time, money and abilities, in these bowls, into this place. Return a portion of these gifts. Bless those who receive them, just as we are blessed in the act of sharing them. Amen. We could remember the giants of the past or serve the little ones of today. We could build grand facilities or restore neighbors. We could stay on mountaintops or go into the valleys of loneliness with our arms full of grace. May our lives and gifts we offer be used in your work of justice and hope, we pray. Amen. O God, as your Son drew apart to be in prayer with you, we offer our prayers for the transformation of the world and the church. For the church, that we may reach out to all who have been excluded or marginalized by our society and offer acceptance and inclusion in our community. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For unity in the human family, that God will awaken within us a spirit of fraternity and help us to cooperate with all peoples, races, and faith traditions in combating disease, poverty, and injustice. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the grace to imitate Christ, that God will help us to love others, confront lies and injustice, and surrender ourselves in service to God and neighbor as did Jesus. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who are engaged, that they may grow in their love for each other and come to know Christ's love through each other. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For openness to the Spirit, that we may be attentive to the invitations of God to grow and change during the coming Lenten season. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who are suffering, that God will assist and guide to fulfillment all who are searching for jobs, a place to call home, food for their table, or health care. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For greater stewardship of Earth's resources, that God will help us understand the value of all living things and the wisdom to protect them for future generations. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who are ill, especially for Mark Thornton and Eric Johnston, that God will heal them in body, mind, and spirit. Restore them so they can be a blessing to others and share fully in the life of the community. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who have died, especially for Tom Martin, that their souls be at peace in his eternal embrace, and that those left behind will receive the blessing of our Father's presence to comfort them. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We bring you our personal intercessions in the silence of our thoughts. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. You revealed your glory and presence in your beloved Son, Jesus the Christ. In receiving our prayers, reveal the glory and presence of your Spirit alive in the world today. Free us from all doubts and empower us to act as transfigured people. Amen.
It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announcements.
The new speaker's working great. All right, let's get on with the announcements here. That's right, we're coming. Here we go. Compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints. Very simple, folks. You got one of those, you're going to need one of these. It's going to be an email address coming up for you, feedback@dallasulc.com, or simply go to dallasulc.com and click on Contact Us. Okay? Very simple. You know, you can't make a difference. We are a church of all volunteers here. Nobody here takes a salary, not even myself. The only way we make it is through our tithing of our community and through donations from people out there in YouTube land and Podcastville and people like you watching our show, our service today. And we need your help. The only way we can keep our doors open is with your help. Please consider making a donation to Dallas Universal Life Church. Simply go to dallasulc.com, click on Donate. There you'll find a secure page, and you can donate. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so it means all of your donations are tax deductible. Since tax season's coming up, it's a very good thing right now, and we could really use the help. Dallasulc.com, click on Donate. Now, it never fails when I talk about money, which I'm not very good at talking about. I always get somebody that comes and say, Bishop, I love the church. I really do. I want to help you out, but I'm broke. And I look at them and say, well, guess what? I'm broke too. Do what we do. We all do it. This is a volunteer church. We all volunteer. Your time is your money. So if you go to dallasulc.com, click on volunteer. There you'll see a list of volunteers we have available, volunteer positions we have available. If you don't see something there you like, come in anyway. I promise you I have something I can put you to work for. It's a great way to get to know your congregants in a little more casual setting than here in church. And it's a great way to help the church out. So please consider donating your time. Pray@dallasulc.com. That's another email address for you folks. You have a request for prayer, that's where you want to go. You can also go to dallasulc.com and click on Contact Us, and there's a form there. I believe it's what it's, oh, no, sorry. You can click on a prayer request, very simple, prayer request, and send your prayer request there. So two different ways you can do it. You can remain anonymous, or you can give us your name. You can ask that your prayers be said during our daily prayers, because we do pray every day here at Dallas Universal Life Church, or you can ask that your prayers be said during the prayers of intercession here on Sunday. Pray at DallasULC.com, or simply go to DallasULC.com and click on prayer requests.
Are you looking for open and honest discussions about faith, life, religion, love, society, God, and so much more? Are you looking for someone to pray with, someone to listen, someone to offer honest advice, someone who cares? We have the perfect place for all of those things, and you can do it all from your laptop or smartphone. Welcome to the new era of Christian prayer, discussion, learning, and support in an ever-changing world. This is Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network. Every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., 5:30 Central Time, Bishop Mark goes live around the world, and everyone is welcome to join and even participate in the discussions and prayer. Your Path Live with bishopmark.online.church. It's that simple. Just type that into your browser and join Bishop Mark, and maybe even go live yourself and talk one-on-one with the bishop. Come check out Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network, this Wednesday at 6:35:30 Central. It's simple. Just go to Your Path Live with bishopmark.online.church and enjoy.
Okay. We've been doing this for a couple months now. This Wednesday night prayer show or talk show or call in show, as you want to call it, and I love it. I think it's great. I wish we could get some more callers in, but we're working on that. We've got some flyers we're handing out. These little suckers right here that kind of look like that up there. So we're handing these out, and I encourage you to please take some more of these when you leave today and hand them out to people. Look, we need callers. We need people to watch. That's the whole idea. We're trying to talk about in the gospel today about going and preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus, telling them about what we're doing here. This is how you do it. This is one of the best ways to do it. It's very simple. You just hand them the card. Tell them, check it out, right? Okay, so that's what we're doing on Wednesdays. Let's see what's coming up next. I think we should just talk a little bit more about that. Yeah, so Wednesdays, 5:30 Central, it's the call-in show we have here every Wednesday night. And also on Channel 8 on the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network, we're on there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our own channel 8. And that's, you just go to pscotvnetwork.org. And you can see us all the time. 24/7, Dallas Universal Life Church, right there. If you've got to be a diehard fanatic, just leave it on, right? Okay, that's two great ways to watch our show. I call it shows. Watch our services, or watch our talk shows, or our prayer shows, or whatever we have going on. When we're live, that's where we are. Okay? What do we got now? Now, again, look what I was just saying. All of Dallas ULC Church services, all of Dallas ULC church services are broadcast live as they happen. Right there, https://, DallasULC.online.church. That's where you can always find us. If we're live, that's where you're going to find us when we have a church service, okay? And that, of course, is brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network. So make sure that, you know, if you're not going to be here with church, you're telling some people that are out of town maybe, or some talking about your experience here at the church, there's how you tell them to watch the church when they're not going to be able to be here, okay? Of course, we'd like to have them here, but they can't, but there you go, right? Now, if you miss any of our broadcasts, of course, you can catch the recording on, let's see if it's going to pop up, I'm going to have to hit the button, on YouTube, our YouTube page. Just go to YouTube and search for Dallas ULC, and our YouTube page there, and all of, from the past 8 years, all of our videos are there. Everything we've had, all of our movies, our videos, even our bloopers, are all right there on YouTube. They're all right there on Dallas ULC, on Dallas ULC YouTube. Oh yeah, Don, your bloopers are there. Of course they are. They're live. You can come and leave that to us. You guys can check it out. Don's had the whole blooper reel just about for our movie last year. It's called Seven, Rising from the Ashes. Make sure you stay and watch that whole thing and watch it at the end. Don does great on it. He's a star. I thought you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Well,
I knew that.
You're a star. Wash your hands, don't forget. Again, we're still doing this, folks. Why do we do this? Why am I so adamant about talking about washing your hands every time we're talking church here?
Because COVID's still out there.
It's still out there. COVID's still out there. And why do we, what does washing our hands do?
Kills germs and viruses
on your hands. They cause COVID. It's called the common cold. It cause the flu, monkeypox, all those things that are going around. Washing your hands is the best way to keep yourself and your neighbor safe from giving them a disease or getting one yourself. Okay? Now, there's a way you got to do that. You must wash your hands for at least 20 seconds with soap and water. That's lathering on 20 seconds. I don't care if you're at the arena and there's 50 million people behind you wanting to get to sink. You say you take that 20 seconds. You sing the song if you have to. Wash your hands. 20 seconds, okay? Then you take a towel and you dry your hands. Take a towel, dry your hands, and then turn off the water because you don't want to touch that nasty faucet you already touched, right? And then you throw it away. Use hand sanitizer if it's available. Continue to use your mask if you need to. Continue to practice social distancing if you feel comfortable with it. And folks, go get vaccinated and get your boosters. I just got my booster, a week ago? Something like that, 2 weeks ago? Look, it's no big deal. And it's saving lives. If not yours, your neighbors. So please, take care of yourself. Get hygienically aware. Take care of washing your hands. It's so simple, you're doing it many, many, many times a day. Okay? All right. Okay. So, special note coming up this Wednesday. I can't believe it's already here. This Wednesday is Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers out there. And to those who can just love themselves. How about that? Valentine's Day is also, this year is also Ash Wednesday, which is the beginning of what?
Lent.
Beginning of Lent. What's Tuesday? What's this coming Tuesday?
Tuesday.
What is that?
Fat Tuesday.
What is that? What else do we call that?
Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras. Fat Tuesday. Why is it called Fat Tuesday? Why do we have that holiday?
People do
overindulge. Lent is a time of giving up things, giving something up. We normally give up something for Lent, right? It's a time of sacrifice. It's a time of introspective looking. So Fat Tuesday is kind of your last hurrah, if you will. It's a bachelor party for your whatever. But that's what it's for. That's what Fat Tuesday is, and that's coming up to a day after tomorrow. But Ash Wednesday is Wednesday. So don't forget. We normally have our show, Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, on Wednesdays at 5:30. So what we're going to do this since we have the service as well, what we'll do is we'll have at 5:30, we'll have the Ash Wednesday service, which is the normal time for the Your Path with Bishop Mark, right? It says 6:30 p.m. there. I apologize. It's 5:30. We always usually do it at 6:30, but it's 5:30 Central Time, 6:30 Eastern Time, okay? 5:30 Central Time, 6:30 Eastern Time. We'll go live, both on Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, and on DallasULC.online.church. Those both be live for the Ash Wednesday service. So don't be surprised if you come and want to see our talk show on Wednesday and it's the service, because I didn't think we'd want to do the talk show and then the service. It might be kind of long. So look.
And it's Valentine's Day.
And it's Valentine's Day, and people do have some plans. But look, Ash Wednesday is the service we have is very pretty. It's moving. There's a lot of meaning involved in it, and I encourage you, if you can't make it, please watch us online. It's a very good service, but if you can make it, come and receive the ashes on your forehead and learn what that's all about. It's important. It really is. It's a great way to begin Lent, okay? And what is Lent?
40 days.
40 days of what?
Fasting.
For what? What are we doing that for?
The 40 days that
close. That's one of the meanings of it. But what are we preparing for?
Easter.
We're praying for Easter. That's right. Praying for Holy Week and Easter. Lent officially ends on Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday before Easter. And then we have Holy Week, and that's a whole other story on itself, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But don't forget, 5:30 here at the church. Make sure you're here by 5, guys. Okay? Seriously. All right. Guess what? Guess what?
Bye.
Look at that.
Roku app. We're on Roku,
folks.
Yeah.
With the Pastor Sean Condren Office Television Network. PCO TV network, we are on Roku. Now, very simple, folks. You want to go check out, look at this, I'm going to show you right here. Okay, what you do, if you have Roku, here's how you do it. It's going to ask you, you add a channel with a code. The description is PSCO TV network, and the access code is here, C6PQPGT. And that's how you add it if you already have Roku. And it's also, if you go look online on our page, you'll see there's a QR code that you can with your phone, and you can get it right there, okay? But there it is.
Thanks,
we're on Roku, and yes, thank you to Pastor Sean Condren and his Pastor Sean Condren Office Television Network for allowing us to be a part of that. It's an honor. We're still new to the live game, so we're still going to use that. It's not going to be live here right now. This is going to be just recorded stuff that we've done in the past. Probably some of those services we do, you know, try and keep it very updated so that people don't get bored with it and they can see our new stuff. But that's where we're going to be, right there on the Pastor Sean PSCO TV Network is what they're calling out there, PSCO TV Network. And I've already looked at it today, and it looks amazing. Y'all were watching some of it. You don't even know it. Y'all were watching some of it before service today. So there it is. Roku. Hey, we're making it big, folks, and thanks to the people like Pastor Sean Condren, that's helping us get there, and we are truly, truly grateful for that, and we thank God for him and his team. So go check out our Roku channel. Please, go check it out. Oh, that's right. Thank you, Will. We're channel number 105 on the network, on the PSCO TV network. We're channel number 105. Now, they're still doing some testing and whatnot and things like that, so that could change, but they're going to try and keep it the same, and hopefully it will stay the same, 105. Okay? All right. Good news, right? That's great news. I love it. And guess what? It's going to say dismissal of the community because we just made it through your announcements, folks. That wasn't too bad, was it? All good news, right? All good stuff going on. Can't believe the year's going so fast already. It's almost Ash Wednesday. Here we go with Lent. Everybody have something you're going to give up for Lent? Anybody thinking about it? Think about it. You got a couple days. You can indulge in it on Tuesday. Look, folks, I know it's a lot of y'all don't like to do that, and I get it. But it really does help you to every day if it's something you normally do every day. Like sometimes I would give up Coca-Colas, okay? And y'all know how I like Coca-Colas. It helps remind you of what the season is. It helps remind you if you want a Coke, oh, that's right, I can't have one because I'm giving that up for Lent. It's a sacrifice to help me remember what the season is and what I'm doing, that I'm supposed to be learning things, okay? So that's what it's all about. I encourage you to please consider giving up something for Lent. It's important. It does help. If you're thinking, like, yeah, stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about others, right? Okay. All right, just rise for our dismissal, please. Don't forget there will be a 10-minute intermission, and then we will begin the round table, which is round table today, okay? God sends you from this sacred space to share the good news of grace, to offer healing to the broken. Jesus would not have you stay here forever to find your sisters and brothers in the valleys of injustice. The Spirit fills you with the gifts you need as you leave to help rebuild the lives of those around you, to share feasts of hope and peace with everyone. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Go now in peace to love and serve God. Amen. We go in the name of Christ.
A bishop a day keeps the devil away. You're listening to Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas.
All right. So, what did you like? What did you not like? What do you want to keep? What do you want to get rid of? Welcome to the Bishop's Roundtable. Today, it's all about y'all. I'm going to try it. I know I'm not going to be able to do this. I don't know why I say it every week. I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. We haven't talked about what? The transfiguration of Christ, right? The transfiguration of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me.
About
anything. It's your show. It's your round table. This is about what you want to talk about, what you need to talk about, what you need to get out, learn about.
All right. Mm-hmm. The camera needs to be tilted. Your phone right there.
What about it?
Mm-hmm. It needs to be tilted forward.
Okay. It's all right. It's okay. Don't worry about the cameras. Don't worry about it. We're okay.
Okay.
You got the main one that looks great, so we're okay on the cameras.
What is he?
Okay. Well,
We'll work on that for next week. Get a little better. Okay, because he's going to talk to us about camera placement after our service today. Okay, all right. Will is taking on the job of really taking care of a lot of the audio and visual stuff here at the church, and he's doing a great job. It is hard on all of us to be going live. It's something new for us, and you know, that's it. It's live. It's not a lot of changes you can make. Yeah. So you know, we're just going to get used to not being able to do that. You know, you can go edit it later and change it later. You can't really do that with live. But we're very happy to be live. We needed to get there. We needed that push to get over the edge to do it, because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't understand it. I was scared to death of it. And Pastor Sean Condren came in and helped us kind of get over that hump. And we're still learning. And as you can see, we still have our little bloopers and whatnot and things that go on. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. I promise. Right. Okay. So back to the subject at hand.
There wasn't one yet.
Okay. Give us one.
Let's make one. Transfiguration. So I found it kind of crazy that Moses, right? And because I had never read that Kings passage before. Uh-huh. And the fact that Elijah and Moses are both ones that went up to the mountains, and they both parted the sea, and they both, it seemed like it was just a repeated thing to happen, both of them, and then they both show up on the mountain again.
Obviously some emphasis on things there, the similarities showing that there's some importance of these people, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of that in the Bible, references that do that. Even people that look at it in numerology, they look at numbers in the Bible, such as the number 7. Being in the Bible, being a number that's very important in the Bible. So again, different ways to look at the Bible, translate the Bible, and make it your own and understand it in that way. But yes, when you see those kind of things happening, and you see a big thing like, you know, parting the seas and going to the mountaintop and seeing God and their face being transformed, right? That's important. It's telling you, hey, something big is happening here.
Right. What I'm sitting here wondering is why Jesus never had an event where he had to part a sea, anything like that. Whenever he was part of that trio that was like went up into the mountain, so he did all that stuff. No. But he walked on water, but he didn't.
Jesus wasn't here to perform miracles. He wasn't. He was here to serve a purpose. His purpose mainly was to die for our sins, right?
Yeah.
But he did do some things. He did change water to wine. Yeah. He did do that. He did raise the dead. Yeah. He did heal the sick. But he could have done a lot more if he wanted to. But right. That wasn't what he was here for. He wasn't here for that notoriety on earth. He was here to do a job, and he did that job.
Because the thing that connected Moses and Elijah together is this, those two events that were very crucial. And
sure.
It just seemed like he got the mountain part right, and he didn't do that other part. Because I mean, like, because Elijah and Moses were not here to show off or
no, they were here to talk to Jesus.
They had a purpose very much as well.
And here's the thing about that. You understand this. Moses and Elijah were not Jesus Christ. They weren't the Son of God.
Right.
So that, you know, Jesus really didn't need them or a mountaintop or any of that. It was a purpose being told there.
He was here for a different purpose.
Sure.
The others were.
And taking the three apostles up there, his inner circle,
right,
obviously as witnesses to what happened, and that you see the true him, the true what he truly was. And they talk about this. He just turned dazzling white, whiter than you've ever seen, whiter than any bleach could ever make anything. It's white, just glowing, just bright white.
Yeah. I think he was here. He was brought down here to bring people together, not divide anything. So I think he was best that he
divide any sort of. I don't know about that either. I think that, you know, Christ didn't come here to. He didn't come here to make nice.
Right.
Now he came here to tell us what the deal is. I mean, this is it. This is what you got to do, folks.
Love each other.
Love each other is a big part of that. Yeah, it's a huge part of it.
That's
love one another as I've loved you.
Yeah, but the thing is, one thing about love is it seems so simple, and yet at the same time, and forgive me for chiming in on this one, but the fact that love is so simple and yet it's not, and the work that goes into it and is required for it can easily make it seem as if it's not. That part, I think, is important just for the simple fact of it. I mean, love, like, it sometimes requires, I guess, an option even if it's not necessary. I mean,
what is love not necessary?
Sorry, my bad. Not when it's not necessary, even when it's difficult.
Yeah, love is difficult. It's a very simple concept, right? We were given the gift of love by God, and we wouldn't be able to love each other and love ourselves if we didn't have that love given to us by God, period. We have to, the hardest part we have as human beings, as disciples and as children of God, is accepting the love that he gave for us, right? Because without accepting that love that he gave for us, we are unable to, then what? Give that love away to others. If we don't have love for ourselves, you can't give that love to other people, which is what we're here to do, is love one another as I have loved you, right? So if I've got, I mean, how many times have I done this? If I've got, I don't have any money in my pocket. If I've got a dollar in my pocket and I hand you a dollar, right? Mm-hmm. You can give that dollar to somebody else if they ask you for a dollar, right? If I don't have a dollar, I say, oh, well, here's, it's kind of like a dollar. It's a dollar here. Yeah. And there's nothing in my hands. What do you have to give to somebody else? Nothing. Uh-huh. It's the same with love. You have to accept that love from God. You do. You have to accept it and love yourself. Accept the love. There's some steps here. Accept that love from God. Know that he loves you. He does, obviously. Look around. Okay. Secondly, love yourself. I mean, if God loves me, obviously something's good there. So maybe I should love myself. And then give it away. That's what that's about. Love, I tell you, all this stuff we talk about all year long, all the things, they're wonderful stories, a great way to live your life. But if you can love one another the way Jesus loved us, which is how he loved us, when he gave us the ultimate life, he gave us his ultimate sacrifice, which is his life, right? Mm-hmm. If you're able to love others in that way, you're doing everything else right. Everything else is falling into place. It's so simple, yet so difficult to do. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things, you know, coming up on Lent. And it's a time to kind of stop for a second and just slow down and turn back and look at yourself and realize, you know what? That's what Ash Wednesday is about. You're human. You're here for a limited time. This body is not who you are. Your soul inside this body, which we know so little about. You know, it's us. We know so little about that soul, right? So it makes us remember that you're human and that you're just temporary here, that you're here to serve a purpose, right? And then the next 40 days are times of sacrifice, of giving of yourself to charities and time, of volunteering your time, and of working on your path, working on what you're doing. It's almost a little bit selfish because you're turning in things to look at yourself and make sure you're going where you're supposed to be going. Getting things, kind of just adjusting things a little bit, make sure you're on the right path. But to counter that, we have the service part. You give away your time and your abilities in volunteer work, right? And you give up something for Lent to remind you of what you're doing, what you're supposed to be doing. It's easy to forget. It's easy to forget. Day by day, it's easy to forget that you're in a season of Lent, right? So it's important that we have those reminders. And sometimes it's tough. I remember as a kid growing up, I hated it. I would approach the school and they would require you to give up something for Lent. And I was into candy or this or that or something. I hated it. Oh, I hated it. You was just, you know, wanting it so bad. Aunt Patsy would give up. This is what crazy about Aunt Patsy. Aunt Patsy was a smoker at a younger age. And she would give up cigarettes for Lent. Now, she could quit cigarettes for 40 days every year. And on Easter Sunday, you pick it right back up. I'm like, Aunt Patsy, why don't you just quit then? She did later quit and dropped it good and just went cold turkey, kind of like I did. And
she started giving up then for Lent?
Chocolates. She started giving up chocolates. You see, that was her next love, was chocolates.
She said, I won't ever get that one.
She was a Scotch drinker too, as in her younger years, a Scotch drinker. So I think probably she gave up Scotch every once in a while too. I
wish you anyone who couldn't give up smoking.
I saw her drink my margarita maybe once or twice in the length of time I knew her. And the other time she had alcohol was when she had wine at communion. So, right. You know, I didn't really know her too well back in those days in her 20s and 30s, but she was probably a bit of a firecracker back then, you know, drinking her scotch and water and smoking her cigarettes, her Pall Malls or whatever she was smoking.
I can't imagine that.
Honestly. Oh, I know. It's crazy.
Just from seeing what I've seen her. Yeah.
And Patsy was shocking. She was a woman that would, a wonderful Christian, God-fearing woman and very, very strong in her faith, but boy, she'd let you have it sometimes. You'd just be like, what?
Yeah, loose cannon. Don't know when she's going to just pop off. Surprise everybody.
I miss her a lot. I do. I think about her all the time. She was my rock for a long time, and she helped me through a lot of stuff. That's what she did with everybody, though. She was that family member that was always there for others. She was the epitome of a person for others, a woman for others. Epitome of it. It was what we strive to be here. Which is what our saying is, you know, minimum for others. She was that, period. And that's what kept her alive so long, I think, is she had to be there for others, and she was. She was the last of her generation, I mean, the entire family, the last of her generation to die. She watched all of her siblings, all of her cousins, all of them die. She was the last. That had to have been hard.
Yeah.
She took it. She took it, you know, with a smile and her faith, and she was an example to all of us on how to live life and deal with some of those things in life. And she wouldn't force things on you. She wouldn't, you know, sit there and Bible thump to you, but she would tell you about her life and tell you about the mistakes she made and how she changed things and the things she does now and what, you know, her, what she does at St. Vincent de Paul when she would volunteer there and whatnot. And, you know, she lived by example, and that's what we have to do. So, I like talking about that. I like it when we can get on a subject like that and look at somebody, which you happen to know. Did you ever meet Aunt Patsy? Yeah, I think you met her once or twice, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was to have somebody like that in your life, even for a short amount of time, to use as an example and to see what kind of life they led, it's important that we see that and are able to emulate that. Jesus Christ being the first one, right? Because that's what we're trying to be like, is Jesus Christ. You've got somebody that's right there in front of you, you know, in real time. It's sometimes a little easier. And, you know, she was a true Christian and really followed in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And to look up to her and follow her lead would be admirable of anybody. So, Aunt Patsy.
Yeah.
Okay. What else, guys? Don't make it short and sweet tonight. Come on, we got a little more to talk about. That was that rain we had yesterday.
Oh Lord.
Was everybody giving it up for Lent?
Guys, have you thought about giving up something for Lent? What you want to give up?
I have thought of things, but I have not.
Haven't decided yet. Gavin, you know you got something you gotta give up.
The option to get that right. Had the phone, the computer.
Yeah, it's okay if you fail. All
right, cool.
It's all right. No big deal. It's okay. All right,
cool. All right. The one thing that I wanted to give up for Lent is just the simple, how can I put it? What was it? Oh, yeah. It's not to give up, but.
It's to give up. It's to give up. For the 40 days. You're not going to do it for the 40 days.
Oh, no, that's not wrong.
Why don't you quit smoking? 40 days.
That's
not going to happen,
huh?
Well, I tried. look, guys, I know it was a long day today. I thank you. I know you probably can't tell on the network there or on our podcast or anywhere else that you're watching this, but we had some major furniture changes and some movings around some things in the sanctuary here. And it doesn't look like it a bunch here from your point of view, but there is. I got a new desk. And we have the old desk we had to find room for to kind of put it someplace for now. And then some changes. And they're worked out okay. It's a little tight in here, but we'll make it through until we can make some more changes. And I appreciate all of your help, guys. Y'all really stepped up today. It was a long day. And I know it was trying. We were trying to get done in time to be ready for church. And we were. And then it was my fault that we didn't get the YouTube thing on there in time for us to start right on time. But we were only a couple minutes late. And that was my fault. I apologize. I just forgot to do that part. So...
It's new. So
it is new. It's still new to me, and you're only doing this one where I have to do it myself on YouTube a couple weeks. So I just forgot. I need to make myself a checklist. Add that to the checklist of things on our checklist, so I know to do that. Right?
Said, no, Mark checklist.
Where's that checklist, Gavin? Where's the checklist?
Oh, I know where it is. It's over there.
We have a checklist that we do for our services every week, and it's very detailed as to, you know, some of this is so simple, you just sign up on it and it's already done, you know, right? But it's everything we have to do before service. So we don't mess up. We don't miss things. Because, you know, when we didn't have that, you think, oh, I've got it, and you miss something. You know?
That's on your desk.
It's on my desk?
I think so, maybe. That or it's on that back desk over there. Your old desk.
I see one here. Let me take a look at this.
Oh, no.
See, I just want to give an example of it anyway, so. I'm not sure which one this one is.
I think
this is it. Yeah, this is one I signed up on. Nobody else signed up on it, except Gavin had a couple of things. So this is what we got. So it's got, you know, it's our checklist, and it seems a little tedious. It does seem tedious, but it makes it so we don't forget things. It's got 24 hours before service, 2 hours before service, and then to set up for service, and then to set up for the mission roundtable, and then to the post breakdown also is on here. And I sign off on this at the end of the day. And so it even has helpful diagrams for everybody so they can figure out exactly what we're talking about all right there.
Diagrams.
Hey, I worked pretty hard on this.
I know.
And we've been using this for a while, and it, believe it or not, When I had it during COVID, during the lockdown and quarantine that we had, I used it whenever I had service here by myself because I wanted to make sure. Look, there was no one here to go, hey, okay, you can do this for me. It wasn't, I couldn't do that. So this really, you know, helped me get through. So
it's a lot to remember. So
it's a lot to remember. It's a lot easier. It's remember. All simple. It's all pretty simple stuff. It's just a lot to remember.
It's a lot easier when you have something.
So we need to add on there my little steps that I have to do to go live about all that stuff to make sure we get that out. And we'll add that on for next week. Have that done. Actually, for Wednesday. I see. Yeah. Anything else, guys? Do we understand? We understand what was going on here, right? We understand this transfiguration. You're seeing the true Jesus. You're seeing Jesus in his heavenly form at that point, basically, is what they're trying to tell you.
Right.
In this transfiguration. Transfiguration. It's a big word. Transfiguration.
So transfiguration.
Change. Mm-hmm. Change in him, right? Mm-hmm. He's transfigured.
Transfigured.
Do you understand that word, right?
Yes.
You aren't helping me out here much, guys. I guess you got it all down pretty good. I guess my sermon was that good that y'all don't have any questions or anything.
Yep.
How's life?
Life is good.
Life is...
Could it be better?
Without a doubt.
Said,
no joke.
No life could be better than the one you're living because always you're living struck. Your life.
I like that. No life could be better than the one you're living because you're living your life.
And if you're not living your life and it's not going well for you, you could change it.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know.
And if you have trouble changing it, you can always talk to God. He can probably help you through it. And if that doesn't even work, come to church. And we'll help you through it.
It's all up in here. So if you think that your life's going well, even if it might not be, and in here, right here.
Yeah.
I said, if God can sit there and tell you you're doing a good job, and you're sitting there saying you're doing a good job regardless of what anybody else thinks.
Amen.
It's your life. Live it. Good. And be happy with yourself.
Be happy with yourself, but make sure you're doing for others, right? Make sure you're living a life for others. No, you say, well, that's what we're all about here. Men and women for others. Living a life for others.
And make sure that people love their lives too.
That's right.
Because everybody should love life. Because you only get one.
Let's go ahead and close it out with a prayer. We'll pray our way out of here. And we'll break down and call it a day today. Don't forget Wednesday, 5:30 Central Time. That's our time. 6:30 Eastern Time for everybody out there who will have the Ash Wednesday service. Okay? All right. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to come together and pray and worship you as we so rightfully should. So many people in this world do not have the opportunity that we had today. And in our prayers and worship and so freely being able to do so. We thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you help us prepare. Help us get ready for the coming Lent season. Help us to choose something that is worthwhile, something meaningful to us that we can give up in sacrifice so we remember what we're doing. Help us to make it through Lent and do those things and continue to look into ourselves, be introspective, to give up what we have to give up, to offer our services to others, to be volunteers and give our time. Lord, we ask you to watch over our families. We ask you to watch over the partiers at Mardi Gras, that they will be safe.
Amen.
And we ask that we go into this time of introspection with your guidance. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, let's break it down. Thank you very much.